Right now, outside the palatially funky KSCO studios, it is 69 degrees. And now stay tuned for the second hour of the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. Dr. Future, a.k.a. Al Lundell, and Mrs. Future, known as Sun, here in the studio. Today, live, we have healer Eric Pearl, who is quite well known originally as a chiropractor for many years, successful chiropractic practice in L.A., until one day his patients began reporting that they felt his hands on them even when he hadn't actually touched them.
Well, they felt heat. They felt something moving them while they were in a trance.
So Dr. Pearl started to get very interested in this whole phenomenon, other things which he'll be sharing with us, and he is a pioneer of what we're calling miraculous healing, a kind of an intersection of science and shamanism that we'd like to share with you.
We call it that. Dr. Pearl calls it reconnective healing. He has a wonderful book called The Reconnection, and it just is a really fun book to read. It has a lot of great insights about how Dr. Pearl's career began in this kind of mysterious healing realm and how he shares these techniques with others. He is the kind of person where if you give him a broken watch, it starts to work. So,
the interesting thing about this is that I have a little background in this whole world of miraculous healing myself. I had been a student of Dr. Bernard Grad up at the Allen Memorial Institute of Psychiatry at McGill for many years. We studied healers all the time, laying on of hands, and we wanted to see if there was anything that was real there, you know, that could be measured scientifically.
Dr. Pearl, thank you for giving us a call. How are you?
Hey. Can you hear me?
Yes, oh, now we just heard you there.
Now. Yeah.
Do you hear
oh,
us?
Good.
Yes. Good. Okay. Well, I've been reading in your book that how sometimes you seem to have an unusual effect on technology.
Yes, apparently.
So we prepped our audience a little bit about your background being a successful chiropractor for 12 years in L.A., and then you started to shift your profession a little based on some experiences you're having. Could you share with us what happened?
Sure. I practiced for about 12 years as a doctor of chiropractic when one night a few strange things happened. I went home on a Thursday thinking I was a chiropractor.
Yeah.
And it turned out that on that night, I was awakened in the middle of the night by a very bright light.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't anything seemingly spiritual or metaphysical. It was just the lamp next to my bed that had turned itself on.
Oh.
But somehow or other, I felt as if there were people in my house. So I got up very bravely with a knife and a can of pepper spray and my Doberman pinscher.
Oh, dear.
And went hunting. I couldn't find anyone.
Yeah.
And when I finally, after 20 minutes of hunting, I convinced myself it had to be my imagination. I went back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that Monday, when I went into my office, seven of my patients began insisting that they were feeling people in the room with us just the way I had been feeling people in my home.
Wow.
Some said standing, walking. Two of them said it felt like someone was flying around the ceiling.
You mean like ghosts or just the presence of somebody else?
Someone was the word they used. Someone felt like someone was in the room.
Hmm.
This was my 12th year in practice. No one had ever said anything like this to me before, so you would think that that would have gotten my attention.
Certainly, yeah.
But other patients were saying that they could feel my hands before I touched them, which, of course, I didn't believe. And I told them to lie down with their eyes closed, and I held my hands facing different areas of their body, and they could tell me whether it was aimed towards the feet or the shoulders.
Yeah.
As I did that, I would start to see very strange responses physically in their bodies. Their muscles in their forehead or their chins would begin to look like they were rippling, tiny, tiny, tiny little involuntary muscles that we can't move intentionally. It would pull at their lips and pull at their eyebrows and make their eyes dart rapidly back and forth. And when they opened their eyes, they would report that they were seeing colors they had never seen before, smelling flowers they had never smelled before, and they started reporting healings, real healings. They were getting up out of wheelchairs, some of them. Vision and hearing returning, regaining the use of arms, legs. Patients would come in that week showing me laboratory results where their cancer tumors had vanished. Children with epilepsy and cerebral palsy were able to walk and run and play and speak normally, not have seizures, not need their medications. Of course, not everyone not 100% of the people have these responses, just like medicine. Nothing is 100%.
But enough to get your attention.
Definitely. Enough to let us know that something significant, something real was occurring. So as this continued, my patients were calling me and their doctors were calling me and saying, what did you do? And I said, I didn't do anything and don't tell anybody, which went over about as big as Nancy Reagan just saying no to drugs.
Mike. Had you known anything about things like trans channels or anything like that before?
This was all totally new to me. It was like I went home on a Thursday night thinking I was a chiropractor. I came back on a Monday and I was something else. And my parents had always told me that I was something else, but this is probably not what they had in mind.
Or you, for that matter, I guess.
Your writing is just so funny. You come across like it was completely, like you're this accidental healer. Like here you are, you're kind of going about your business, and then all of a sudden, the miracles just start coming through.
This is what happened.
Yeah. And have you made any progress over the last, like your book came out in 2001, right?
Uh-huh.
In the book, you were really talking quite a bit about looking for an understanding or an explanation of what happened. Have you gotten any more clues or have you just kind of surrendered to the mystery?
I now know that there's an intelligence beyond what we're used to here that can see us, is watching us, is observing us somehow and steering us on to our own next evolution. I don't know exactly what it is. But I do believe it's a part of our evolution that we're in transformation and that simultaneously we're existing on multiple planes and that some planes are less evolved, some planes are more evolved or more experienced. And some planes of us are watching us, looking forward to our continued evolution. This may have something in its timing to do with the concept of 2012. I don't really know. I don't think 2012 is going to be the end of the world. I don't think we're suddenly going to pick up our bed sheets on December 21, 2012 at 11:11 a.m. and scream because we're invisible. I think we might scream for another reason, but I'm sure that will be a different interview.
It does fit in with one of the great transition stories that are now being told of humanity becoming a superorganism. Have you heard that one at all?
Well, it does fit in with that. I haven't heard it specifically, but from what you just say, what you just said, it does fit in with that.
There's one of the best-known scientists in that theory is cell biologist Bruce Lipton, Institute of Noetic Sciences. He's spoken quite a few events there.
I know Bruce. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah, he might be one to have a conversation because he's been promulgating that theory that humanity is reorganizing itself on a higher level, much like how we have organized the 100 trillion cells within our body. They're the principles of biology continue to include the entire species, and that it ultimately creates some kind of new organization that goes beyond nation-state identities and the typical structures that we base our identities on, that the superorganism is something that we're part of humanity. It's more of a shamanic, but it also can be very scientific in the way that theory unfolds. That's one possibility. But you said that these other intelligences that came in, could you speak to them? Did they seem to have an awareness that you could talk to?
Yeah. Are you here?
Yes.
Yeah. We disconnected and then I redialed back in.
Oh, yes. Good. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, so you missed the last few minutes of what I was saying then.
Okay. Yes. But wait, but I picked up your last six words.
So oh, good, okay.
What I was gathering is that you're asking whether this is an intelligence that we can communicate with.
Right, right.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, what we're doing with this is, what happened was, a little bit after these healings started, and let me back you up a touch.
Okay.
So the healings are going on, and people are asking me to teach it. And I said, teach it? You got to be crazy. I'm standing and waving my hands in the air looking like an idiot. So you go outside, wave your hands in the air, let me know what your neighbors have to say about it. More and more people would say to me that when they drove home after their sessions, they pulled up in front of their house and their automatic garage door opened before they hit the little, button to open it. Or they went inside, their lamps and their television started turning on and off, and they felt sensations in their hands, and they would hold their hands near people in their family, and those people started having healings.
Yes.
And we began to recognize that once you interact with these frequencies, something changes within you that allows you to not only facilitate your own healings, but to facilitate healings for others.
Huh.
So I would play with this for a while, and this went on, and somewhere a few months into it, one of my patients lost consciousness. When he did that, he spoke two phrases. He said, "We are here to tell you to continue doing what you were doing. What you were doing is bringing light and information onto the planet." Mm-hmm. Those were the first two phrases. A few days later, three other patients lost consciousness and spoke those same first two phrases and added two more. "What you're doing is reconnecting strings. What you're doing is reconnecting strands." First patient came back in and said, "What you're doing is reconnecting strings." And over a three-month time period, over 50 of my patients lost consciousness and spoke six verbatim phrases. So obviously somewhere, some intelligence found a way to turn over 50 different living human beings into living broadcast systems for the same message.
For you.
It depends on how you want to take it. And with time, I think we have a broader issue here.
Yes.
So what happened was, after the 3 month period, all the patients stopped except for the very first one who continued. Mm-hmm. And so I would speak with him afterwards, although he didn't always like to do it because it was very strange for him. Mm. And I would record the sessions, and I recorded them, I transcribed them, and he and I are putting them out in a book form that will be released in the very beginning of 2013.
Oh.
And yes, you can communicate with it, and if you would like, I could certainly share a couple paragraphs with you.
Yeah, I think that would be great. How about if we take a quick moment for a sponsor break, and then we can do that when we come back, okay?
Perfect.
All right, great. So we're with Dr. Eric Pearl here on the Dr. Future Show on KSCO.
See you after the break, folks.
All things future emerging now.
Dr. and Mrs. Future experiment with longevity product Java Fit.
It goes with the idea that coffee is good for you. Really thrilled about Java Fit Focus plus multivitamin coffee, which gives you mental clarity, neural support, and brain boost, as well as being awesome tasting coffee.
Connie, do you want to try it before going to the movies tonight?
Sure. We're going to make some Java Fit Focus.
Staying awake in the movie tonight. Yum.
Okay, it's now after the movie. We have some results regarding
our JavaFit coffee. Connie, did it actually help you stay awake?
This did the job.
I have to jolt her with my elbow and check that she's still awake. And she was awake. What's up with that?
Well, it must have been that JavaFit.
See, it does what it's supposed to do. It's caffeine plus.
It's the future.
For more information, go to KSCOteam.com. Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking with Dr. Eric Pearl, author of The Reconnection, Healing Others, Healing Yourself. We're talking about miraculous healing and about some of the communications that have come to him from these other dimensions, other entities that have helped him become a miraculous healer. So you're going to share some of the messages with us, Dr. Pearl.
Sure. Okay. See, we teach seminars all around the world teaching people how to access this new level of healing. As a matter of fact, we'll be doing one in San Jose, July 20-22, and in Newport Beach, October 19-21.
Okay.
But I'll give you some of the teachings.
Okay.
Here. There's a lot that needs to be said in various ways. We understand ourselves in a limited fashion. We need to carry this understanding as a life process. It is the unveiling of a multifaceted force within our life. We need to peel away the exterior so that that internal being shines through to those we come in contact with. This eternal soul that resides within our framework is covered up in many ways by our fears and apprehensions. And in your work as a healer, that is what you need to do. You need to unveil your soul. It is not a simple process, and this stripping away of ego is an eternal process. The selflessness that must shine through the being that can reach in without interference. Once that pure force shines through without it being refracted by various mindsets, it will flow in a more direct manner. Hmm. Once you allow your soul, that egoless purity, to come through, that is almost a common denominator in that it has the ability to automatically fuse with the frequency of the person you're coming in contact with. So your job in this process is to strip away the defense, strip away the mind, strip away the control mechanisms that you have in this plane and the techniques. Let them go. Let them be part of an exterior that has nothing to do with you. And present that soul in the room. It will automatically do the work. Hmm. That energy is the common universal language of the cosmos. It is understood immediately and it's felt intrinsically.
Hmm. Now, when you say that it was more of a process of surrender or receptivity than being active as a healer yourself when working with his energy?
It's really learning how to observe without judgment, how to feel, how to listen with a different sense. And suddenly you begin to visibly observe the physical changes that are going on in the human bodies in front of you.
Hmm. Is this something you've been able to activate in others?
Well, you can activate it. What happens is it's as if it's the next step of human evolution, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And what it requires is a certain egoless presence that is willing to learn from another being. The entitlement sense that says, well, it's here and we can all access it is precisely what limits us from being able to access it.
Hmm.
So you need to interact with someone else who has it or interact in a seminar learning how to access this. And once you do, I can pretty much make you two promises, which are A, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that I can do, and B, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that any human being anywhere on this planet can do, whether they were raised by monks in a cave in a mountaintop in Tibet or whatever other story is woven around them to build the mystique, because this allows us to demystify the healing process and allow it to become clear and transparent for everyone and therefore maximized by everyone, because it allows us to completely transcend our energy healing techniques and rise to an entirely new level.
And so would you say that there's some kind of a resonant field that people need to immerse themselves in to get this understanding?
I would say precisely that, Dr. Future.
If it's a reconnection, it's a reconnection to what? Or if it is the species superorganism, it would be a new connection.
It wouldn't in either case. We would view it as that. But what it is actually a reconnection to our original fullness, what we experienced between our lifetimes. And that experience is something that occurs outside of time and space. So it is new to us. But it's something that's existed outside of time forever, so it's simultaneously timeless.
Right.
But it's
right.
Not something from a past life. It does tend to royally piss off a lot of the New Age community that wants everything to be old so they can claim that they're already familiar with it from their 33rd past life as Cleopatra in Atlantis and Lemuria.
Yeah, how many Lemurian princesses could there have been?
Yeah, must have been a lot. They must have used a lot of that eye makeup back then.
Yeah, really.
But the point is, sometimes something is just new, and isn't that wonderful? Because we are also here for what is new.
Yes.
So somehow or other, it's simultaneously new, and yet it is a reconnection to something that exists that we've experienced outside of the constraints of time and space.
Well, it does force us to take a deeper look at our comprehension of time and space and what they might actually be in terms
of... Doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
You know, it seems to me that we're talking about what happens with a seed becoming a tree. You know, we're talking about something that's sort of an inherent nature that people have, and the healing process is really kind of like putting that seed into the most optimal environment for full expression.
It's as if we were preset somehow to have this awaken with us at a certain time, and yet there's an interesting set of rules. The rules are the entitlement is exactly what blocks it. It seems to be something that allows us to evolve, but simultaneously commands that the way we evolve is in a more egoless state of purity.
I'm really not understanding what you mean by that word entitlement.
There'll be people who might say, yes, I was reconnected in a dream. Or it's all God, it's all love, it's all the universe, it's all here, and I can just access it. And it seems to be set up in a way that we actually have to be willing to place ourselves on an equal level with someone else and say, there's something I can learn from another human being. That's what removes the entitlement.
Okay, so you're saying that this energy, this healing energy, is something that happens between peers. And if people don't put themselves in the presence of the peer because maybe they think that they're above it all or it's not for them, then they don't connect.
See, you understand entitlement perfectly.
Yeah, I'm translating.
It's kind of like the internet, peer-to-peer network.
Yeah.
Well, how does that affect the healing profession then? I mean, if this is true, then the whole hierarchical infrastructure of the medicine could shift.
There you go. And that is exactly what the situation is. We no longer need to learn complicated techniques. We don't have to learn Reiki 1, Reiki 2, Reiki 3. We don't have to learn DNA 1 and DNA 2 and advanced DNA. We don't have to come from a fear-based consciousness where we need to control things, where we need to do step 1 and 2 and 3, where we have to protect ourselves in purple flames and white flames and be in the fear of shaking off negative energy and spraying us down with alcohol. We don't have to do any longer. What we're being challenged to is to become the healing. Just like a flame, it simply stands in its own integrity. And when you take a lit candle to light another candle, it simply inspires each and the next candle to ignite by standing in its own purity. As we become the healing, we simply inspire the healings within others at the highest level.
Yeah, I really like that. It's a different paradigm in health where instead of saying we're broken and we need fixing, instead we're saying that our true nature has some clogs and some baggage, and all we need to do is leave that stuff out, and our true nature can just power on ahead.
Absolutely, because healing is not about adding something to us. It's about bringing ourselves back to the natural vibration of light, and in doing so, the densities have nothing left to hold on to. So as appropriate for that person on their life course, those densities, those health challenges simply fall away. But healing is much more than just regaining the use of an arm or a leg or vision or hearing. Healing is about our evolution. And therefore, as we evolve and as the research studies, now 5 international studies so far with the 6th one in the planning have shown about specifically reconnect healing compared with anything else, is that it alters our DNA. It restructures, or what I say, reconnects our DNA, which allows us to become more.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does our DNA do for us? Like, what, in your line of work with, you know, you're an energetic healer, I would say. So how do you work with DNA?
Well, look at it this way. Let's imagine if you've got your computer in front of you, what you have is some metal hardware, and it does nothing until you install a software program. Once you install that software program, you get access to the information within the computer, and you access that internet field out there somewhere.
The cloud.
Upgrade that system. You get better access from within the computer and better access to that internet field out there somewhere.
That's great.
Our brains also work that way. Our brains access information diffusely from throughout the brain, and we also access information from what science today calls zero-point fields that we're all in, where all of the information exists. And yes, you could say it's sort of like that cloud, except we are the field and the field is us.
Mm-hmm.
But what we seem to be doing is reconnecting or restructuring the DNA, which seems to function as a software program for us. And our brains seem to function as our hardware. So as we upgrade the DNA from what we're seeing in the research studies, it's as if we are facilitating for other people a human software upgrade, which allows better, more conscious, multidimensional access to what's going on within our brain and more access to the multidimensional universe. And since we go where our attention is, we become more multidimensional beings in the process, and the physical healings that we witness are just one tiny little gift of this evolutionary process that humanity is stepping into today.
You know, it opens the door to your multidimensional self, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
I'm just wondering if it's kind of making me think. In your book, you say, why would a healer be a healer? Like, what's in it for the healer? I'm just wondering, is this energy healing connected to, say, creating nirvana? Is it a, as Alan was saying, a super organism, like we all have to get there together, and so it's just a way of doing it as quickly as possible?
I like the second option you offered up.
Yes.
You're so funny. You ask your questions, and then you answer them perfectly.
Yeah, I guess I'm just kind of reaching at straws here. So I'm getting new insights, so I guess in some ways I'm asking if these insights are the ones that you're delivering.
They are, and not everyone gets them so clearly. So I'm rather entertained with this interview, which is, you know, considering it's 20 to 1 in the morning here in Frankfurt, Germany.
Oh, is that where you are now? Oh, my goodness.
Bless your heart.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I just flew in a couple hours ago from Palma de Mallorca in Spain, and tomorrow morning I get up and go to Montreal to teach a seminar there.
Oh, Montreal, yes. I went to McGill there in Montreal.
Oh, you did? I taught at McGill. I didn't teach. I mean, I was brought in as a speaker.
Yeah, I worked with Dr. Bernie Grad up in the Allen Memorial Institute of Psychiatry there for years. Yeah, yeah. It's, we studied psychics up there, you know. There's quite a center for looking at laying on of hands and healing energies back in the 70s.
Really?
Yeah. So what's been the response in Europe?
The response has been excellent. I've been on the road 42 to 45 weeks a year for the past 10, 11 years, and consistently the seminars run anywhere from about 300 people to about 1,000 people, depending on where and when.
Hmm.
And these are the people who are learning the full weekend seminars, where we teach you how to access this work. And it only takes one weekend, because by that Monday, you're able to go out and, if you want to, start your own healing process and bring healing to your own communities.
Hmm.
So we teach all around the globe.
So you're saying people come and get training to be able to basically spread the healing process?
Absolutely. And I'm sure that once we get enough people, once we hit critical mass, we won't have to learn it through seminars any longer. We'll pass it on to our kids. We'll pick it up from people with whom we interact. And it'll be a natural part of who we are. And hopefully one day soon, we will overhear children asking their parents if it's true that people really used to swallow medicines to try to get well. I mean, poisons to try to get well.
Right, right. But you say it's basically a healing literacy, it sounds to me. Like, you could learn this at a young age and incorporate it into your daily life.
Hmm. And the people who learn this are, well, we teach special classes for kids who are like between 4 and 7. But the people who learn this generally in the full adult seminar are anywhere from the ages 7 on up to in their 90s.
Hmm.
Fascinating. You know, we're going to have to take another short break, Dr. Pearl. Can you stay with us till the end of the show?
Sure, I can.
Okay.
I'd love to.
Thanks so much. Okay, so we'll be right back here on the Dr. Future Show with Dr. Eric Pearl and Miraculous Healing, The Reconnection.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking with Dr. Eric Pearl on miraculous healing. You there, Dr. Pearl?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Okay.
Where would I go? Well, who actually, at this point in my life, who knows how to answer a question like that?
Where
I know.
Would you go?
Yeah, are you there
where
or are you here?
Where is there? Where is here?
So that brings up the question of time. When you're in these extraordinary states of consciousness, is the perception of time very different?
Very different. You go into a state of a timeless awareness where it becomes a state of like a gel-like state of beginningless, endless, nebulous, formless, shapeless, just an awareness where the concept of a clock wouldn't even fit.
Hmm. Kind of like the power.
And everything centers. Huh. Everything centers in you. It really, and this timeless awareness very much feels as if you've stepped into your dharma, your purpose in life. You just discovered a new level of existence.
Hmm. Yeah, so it's reconnecting you with your sort of spiritual potential or something.
Can you stay there as a state, or is it a very extraordinary space? I mean, where you can only...
It's an extraordinary space that you can remain in most definitely throughout your sessions, and you can carry with you after your session, I guess, until something calls you back into this form of life.
Hmm. Is there any danger of taking on an illness that you're trying to work with?
Absolutely none. Because what happens is we move beyond. See, what we've had here has been energy healing. Reiki, Jiraiji, Qin, Qigong, Mahjong, Beijing, all the different energy healing techniques. Mm-hmm. And with energy, and just those subsets of energy, there tends to be a lot of negativity that's attracted to you. And that's why so much of those healings are based out of fear, lack, and limitation, the needs for protections and rituals.
Hmm.
But what they've discovered here in the research is that we are now, once we reconnect, once we access the reconnective healing spectrum, we're not accessing any more subsets of energy. We're accessing A, the entirety of energy, and B, the continuum expands beyond what we've known here as energy into a spectrum of light and information that we haven't accessed before. So what, or at least the scientists haven't seen before. They said, for instance, it changes the space, it conditions the space, the room that you're working in a manner that couldn't be reproduced here on Earth normally without us heating the room to over 300 degrees Celsius, which is the equivalent to approximately 576 degrees Fahrenheit. There's such a dramatic change that goes on, but one of the key points in this is it seems to vibrates at a new level of light. And what that does in the interaction is it subliminally reminds the person who's receiving the healing that they too are light. And as that occurs, something goes off inside of them and says, hey, I remember this. This is me vibrating as light. This is me vibrating healthy. I think I'll do it again. And as they return to that level of light, as we said earlier, any of the densities, including their health challenges, that's heavier than light, it's pretty much nothing left to hold on to. So if it's appropriate for them in their life course, they simply fall away.
I see,
now,
yeah.
Here are the next two most important sentences involved in this, which are A, healing at the highest level is just that simple. Wow. And B, anything more complicated than that, anything, rituals, techniques, objects, crystals, anything more complicated than that, it's simply designed to sell us something. The biggest thing that it's selling us is that it's selling us on we are inadequate. We are less than 100%. We need to invest in a ritual or an object. And today our challenge is to recognize and discover and step into us being not only just enough, but us being abundantly 100%.
Huh. Do you...
Not that I have an opinion on the subject. Right?
No, of course not. I'm curious, when you said you drop of fear... You're letting go of fear of you're, say, heaven forbid, you have been diagnosed with cancer or something like that.
I was talking about the fears that you brought up. You said, because right. You brought up one of the main superstitious fears that you might take something on. And light doesn't take on darkness.
Right. Sounds almost like a process of sympathetic resonance, a very natural thing for biology to do.
Absolutely.
You know, we tend
why Bruce's work, Bruce Lipton's work, mm-hmm. inadvertently so well explains a lot of the aspects of this to give us greater insight into this.
So, Dr. Pearl, in your experience, what do you think is the right mindset or open, like, how can people best take advantage of the insights that you have available?
The workshops, or is there something you can do with the mass media?
The best mindset is observation without judgment.
Hmm.
The best way to learn this, obviously, are the workshops. I mean, we can all read a book, whether we read a book on healing or whether we read a book on hairdressing or brain surgery. I mean, none of us is really necessarily equipped to fully manifest that profession, you know, just from reading a book. It works really well to interact one-on-one with someone in a seminar or a classroom setting.
Hmm.
And so what we do when we teach the seminars is usually A Friday night, we give a three-hour presentation talking about the history of the work, the theory, how it evolved, the philosophy. We give live demonstrations of the healings on volunteers from the audience so you can see the reality of it, maybe even on yourself or in someone that you know. And we give everyone an opportunity to feel it in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday and Sunday. Go ahead.
I say, are you also, you're creating it so that people give themselves permission to go there, it sounds like.
Absolutely. But Saturday and Sunday, I warn everyone, is a real working seminar, which means do not come. Mm-hmm. If you think we're all going to sit around, hold hands, om, and sing Kumbaya, my Lord, because it really won't happen. This is my personality, fortunately or unfortunately, and I don't get prettier. It's a very focused work. What we do is we demonstrate a level of the work from the stage, and we all go to massage tables in either groups of two or four, and we work with you, each of the teaching assistants, and I walk around to each of the tables. We work with your hands, show you how to feel it, show you how to find it, and you begin to immediately witness physical response in the person lying down on the massage table that you're working on, eyes moving unintentionally, fingers moving, feet moving involuntarily, and you start to recognize that, when I'm here, I'm feeling this, and I'm witnessing that. When I'm here, I'm feeling something else, and I'm seeing a different movement in their body. And you get to recognize your distinct role in this, and by the end of the weekend, you have mastered this work as well as I can do it, and you've mastered healing as well as any human being anywhere on this planet can do it.
Small groups of people, like four or five, you can then take that talent, that skill set, and move it out into the world, wherever it seems appropriate for you next.
You take that skill. Yeah, we learn in small groups. There are large seminars, of course. Uh-huh. But you're usually working either with a single partner or with two or three partners, depending on what part of the exercise that we're doing. And we have one teaching assistant for approximately every 18 or 20 people who are there. Plus, mm-hmm. I work through the whole room with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Now, do people learn this connection and then sort of fall off the log and forget about it afterwards? I mean, is there...
Some people do. How can I say this? There are only a few that dare to open their eyes, and many who do are blinded by what they see. But the light is not what blinds us. Light is neutral. What we choose, whether to allow the light to illuminate or to blind, depending on whether or not we're willing to accept this new level of consciousness and existence.
Hmm. Have you heard of John of God or Rigo?
Yeah.
Surgeon of the Rusty Knife.
Oh, I remember that one.
That was Dr. Harich's work back in the 60s.
Yeah.
There seems to be a tradition of this sort of thing in other cultures more than ours. And I'm just wondering if you've run into that in your travels and whether or not you've incorporated some of what you've learned as you travel around the world with this, or does it stand on its own?
This stands on its own, and part of what we're doing is we're trying to bring people past that, so it doesn't require, I'm not talking about the one with the rusty knife, that's a different thing.
Right.
But, if you're talking about a John of God type of a situation,
right.
We're trying to bring people past it needing to be faith-based, because there's faith and there's hope, but beyond that is a state of conscious knowingness. So we don't have to base it in religion or religious dogma.
It's just a primary, sort of a human knowingness in a way of health.
It's a human knowingness. I view our religions as windows out to the universe. And the point is, as many of us spend our whole lives and many generations looking out of one window, we find out another window shows us something else, and we argue that whose window is right. In reality, once we start looking out of multiple windows, our picture broadens. But even if we look out of every window, we'll never see the whole picture, because each window is limited by the window frame and limited by the wall that supports the frame. Only when we're willing to all join hands and go up on the roof can we see 360 degrees in all directions.
Right.
And
right.
See the fullness of the universe.
How about diagnosis? Are you able to tune into that too with this process?
There's no longer need for that. I mean, I believe that diagnosis is very valuable. If you're a medical doctor, you're probably considered negligent in most situations if you don't diagnose. At this level of work, you're negligent if you do diagnose, because the moment that you diagnose and start to determine a problem, you begin to limit the scope of what you believe is or isn't possible, where you believe the problem is, how you're going to fix it, and it comes back to an ego-based approach of I did this and I did that and I did the other. But when you're willing to rise above medical intuition and diagnosis, then you allow yourself to purely become a witness without judgment, the observer and the observed. And as you do that, you find that your reward is the universe displays the perfection and the beauty of the healing process before you, and your consciousness expands. And with each expansion of your own consciousness, you expand the healings that you're able to bring through.
Hmm. How about the people you work with? Can you find like a small group of people you can regularly practice with? Is this what often work as a way of sustaining it?
You don't need to practice with it. It's a gift. Once you have it, you have it.
Ah, okay. So it's...
Once you can ride a bicycle, you can ride a bicycle. It certainly is fun to go out and ride the bicycle with your friends, but even if you don't ride a bike for a few years, you get back on the bike and you own it.
Okay. Gotcha.
Speaking of doing it with your friends, is there any need to do it with your friends? I mean, you were saying about it being a peer thing, but is it for an individual or is it for a larger group ascension?
The gift of this is the one-on-one work with people, because as we unveil ourselves and share that space with another human being, what happens is we open up, we become more, they become more in the process. And then as they interact with more people, those people become more. We're very busy running out trying to work on groups, trying to heal governments, trying to heal trees, but we're forgetting that all these things are reflections of who we are. So it's like standing in front of the mirror, not liking what you're seeing and trying to heal or fix the mirror. Yeah. Nothing is wrong with the mirror.
We have about 20 seconds left, Dr.
Thank
Pearl.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pearl.
What's the best place for people to find out more information about your schedule and where you're going
to
be?
Well, the book is called The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself. It's in 36 languages. And the website is the same name. It's TheReconnection.com. TheReconnection.com. And there's a calendar where you can find the seminars.
Good.
All
right, well,
all
thank
around
you.
The world, including the two coming up in Southern California.
Well, thank you so much for being on our show. Appreciate it.
And absolutely my pleasure.
All right.
Thanks,
and have a good trip back.
And the Dr. Future
thank
Show.
You.
KSCS Santa Cruz.
Bye for now.